Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, July 31st, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A court martial for a Sitka-based Coast Guard petty officer accused of rape and sexual contact is being pushed back. The court martial for 26-year-old Petty Officer 3rd Class William Bissell had been scheduled to begin today, but a Coast Guard spokesman says some procedural issues arose, likely pushing back the court martial by several weeks. The Coast Guard says Bissell is charged with two violations of a section of the Uniform Code of Military Justice covering sexual assault. Rear Admiral Thomas P. Astebo, who is commander of the Coast Guard in Alaska, decided to move forward with the court-martial after an Article 32 hearing was held last winter, during which reasonable grounds were found to try Bissell. An Article 32 hearing is similar to a grand jury proceeding. A team of researchers is working on a multi-year study in coastal communities from Bristol Bay to Sitka. But unlike their counterparts in the biological sciences, this university team is not studying fish or marine mammals or forest ecosystems. They're studying us. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Some of the very first scholars to visit Southeast Alaska were naturalists. Anthropologists and ethnographers were not far behind. Those early researchers documented Alaska's indigenous cultures and how they survived and thrived in adverse conditions. Karen Hebert is an anthropologist at Yale University. She's still interested in how we're coping with adversity.
Alaskan communities face a whole range of really important resource issues, especially on Alaskan coasts. But there's also a lot that's already underway here by region residents in both Southwest and Southeast Alaska to tackle the issues that people feel are most important for the future.
Hebert spent much of the summer in the Bristol Bay area conducting interviews. Her collaborators have been working in Southeast in Sitka and Hoonah. They're examining the parallels between the two regions as they confront mining, fisheries, and timber issues. This is year one of a three-year study. Hebert and her team are not working from the sidelines. In this project, cultural anthropology and ethnography are hands-on.
Which is really trying to understand people's ideas from their own perspectives, how they come to see the world the way they do, why they feel certain issues are important. And we get at that by trying to attend community meetings and interact with people in normal everyday settings, get a sense of what people talk about when we're not driving the questions, even though everyone will, of course, know we're researchers. And also sit down and really have pretty in-depth and extended semi-structured interviews so we can find out what kinds of work and involvement they've done, what their perspectives are, and why they come to hold the views they do.
The study is called Confronting Resource Concerns in Coastal Alaska. Hebert says she'll focus on the connection between fisheries and other marine resources and what happens on land.
It's never just the fish.
Danielle Dinovelli-Lang is an anthropologist from Carleton University in Ottawa.
It's something deeper and bigger, and that's about how people and things relate to each other.
Dinovelli-Lang came to the project after doing her dissertation work in the village of Hoonah. She says she was looking for the most central issue to people's lives in the community, the issue that shaped most all other issues. It turned out to be subsistence. Dinovelli-Lang is lending her expertise in subsistence to this project.
The U.S. government has this sort of vast subsistence management program. That's something that if you're not Alaskan is just like totally crazy and mysterious. So understanding why it would be so important to the government at that level, why it's so important to the state, why it's so important to individual people, and how that plays out throughout this region.
The third collaborator in the study is Yale School of Forestry graduate student Taylor Reese. She brings an interest in terrestrial resources to the study and corrals subjects to interview.
An assortment of everyone, really, from people involved in all the major kind of resource concern organizations, from ALPHA and SCS to the broader organizations, including TNC and TU.
That's the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, Sitka Conservation Society, the Nature Conservancy, and Trout Unlimited. But anyone is a candidate.
We're talking to fishermen and loggers and community members, ones that are really rooted in the subsistence culture and natural resources, and ones that aren't necessarily.
The three will be back next year for another round of interviews in both Southeast and Bristol Bay. The third year will be for analysis and conclusions. Hebert knows a lot of academic work has been done demonstrating that these areas of Alaska are vulnerable to changes in the environment and the availability of resources. But we also have a distinctive capacity to form coalitions to promote sustainability. How we survive and thrive is not only important for us to understand, but it also may be a lesson for others.
This region probably has a lot to teach coastal communities across the world that are confronting similar concerns.
In addition to contemporary interviews, Hebert is also working with a Sitka Maritime Heritage Society oral history project looking at resource problems over time. Her work is funded by the National Science Foundation and based out of the Sitka Sound Science Center. But Hebert, Dina Valley-Lang, and Reese are most often in the field. To get in touch with the team, Hebert suggests connecting with local Sitka intern Alaire Huey. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Federal and state transportation officials fielded questions and concerns in Petersburg last week about potential road and ferry improvements for the neighboring community of Cake. The two communities are separated by over 40 miles of land and water, but could be linked by new road and ferry connections, depending on the outcome of a federal study of the possibilities. Joe Vicknicki reports.
The project is called Cake Access, and it aims to improve transportation, namely road and ferry travel, to the community of over 500 people on northwestern Kuprinoff Island. The Federal Highway Administration is in the early stages of coming up with an Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS. That's a requirement of the National Environmental Policy Act to look at potential impacts to the public lands, wildlife, and people in the area. Mike Trafalis is project manager with the agency in Vancouver, Washington, and said the Cake Access project was still in the scoping phase.
Through outreach efforts, we've now crafted our draft purpose and need, which is a core document, the cornerstone of the EIS, based on what we've heard and documented through outreach efforts of the needs for improved access for the community of Cake. This document, once finalized, will be used for us to develop a range of alternatives to solve the access issue.
The draft document says improved transportation is needed because access to and from Cake is restricted to infrequent air and ferry service. This study is only looking at surface transportation, not the air options. Trafalis made it clear that Federal Highways has not yet produced any alternatives where new roads would go or ferry terminals could be built. However, the project is not starting with a blank slate. A road and ferry connection between Petersburg and Cake has been under consideration for decades. It was a recommendation of the state's 2004 transportation plan for the region, and the project already has a 2012 state appropriation of $40 million. That money was included in the state's capital budget for just one option, new and upgraded roads along the northern end of the island that follows a specified transportation easement and existing logging roads across the national forest land. Local resident Bill Tremblay questioned the language in the purpose and need document.
The way this is worded, the $40 million from the state almost appears to be like a predetermined decision on the NEPA document. You know, it would be helpful to know whether or not that money would just stay in that one area, can be moved. I mean, if the purpose of the money is to provide Cake access, if the environmental analysis and the economic analysis and the benefits favor the Totem Road, does that $40 million goes away or what?
A road to Totem Bay on the southern end of the island was another route considered by state planners in the past. Those alternatives and others could make it into this latest review. Federal Highways Trafalis noted the money was a state appropriation and would not influence the federal study.
No, we're not letting the state legislation saying this money is for a northern road alignment dictate what we're looking at or what the outcome of our study is.
The northern road alignment is controversial. It's opposed by the small community of Kuprinoff across the Wrangell Narrows from Petersburg, and it would require a terminal and a shuttle ferry to cross between Kuprinoff and Petersburg. Mike Stainbrook owns a cabin on Kuprinoff and said a road there is not the way to improve Cake's transportation. He suggested better mainline ferry service from the state.
Much of what is said about the connectivity with Cake is something that almost all the small rural communities in Southeast feel. That's a part and parcel of how we live and the perils we deal with. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make it that we shouldn't try to make things better, but I don't know if building roads in a water community is necessarily the answer.
At the same time the transportation study is underway, the Southeast Alaska Power Agency is studying possibilities for an electrical connection, and that study's much further along, with alternatives identified and early cost estimates. Officials say an electrical line would be easier to build and maintain if it paralleled a roadway. However, the two studies are separate and proceeding on different schedules. Federal Highways will be finalizing its purpose and need document, and from that will start developing a range of potential alternatives for the environmental impact statement. A draft EIS document is expected out in the spring of 2015. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
The state will ask the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to reconsider a decision rejecting Alaska's exploration plan for the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Regional Fish and Wildlife Service Director Jeffrey Haskett, in a letter last week, said the authorization for an exploration program on the coastal plain of the refuge expired in 1987. The state proposed an exploration plan aimed at determining the oil and gas potential in the refuge. State Natural Resources Commissioner Dan Sullivan has said that under the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, the Interior Secretary must approve an exploration plan if it meets the necessary requirements. He has said he believes the plan does. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.